Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, the 8th of July, 2002. Today's session is titled, Manna and Wilderness, Recognizing God's Presence and Sustenance, and is presented by Stacy Kitahata, Andrea Walker, and Mary Pack. This is session KIS 2002-01. Let's listen in.
Yeah, we are beginning now. My name is Mary Pack. I serve as Vice President for Student Affairs at McCormick Theological Seminary, which is a Presbyterian seminary, and I'm an ordained Presbyterian minister.
And I'm Stacy Kitahata. I work with Region 1, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana of the ELCA, doing multicultural ministry, evangelism, witness, and service with congregations and synods. And I used to be a colleague of Mary's in Chicago, serving at the Lutheran Seminary. And our pal, Andrea, is here.
I'm Andrea Walker, and I'm a pastor, Lutheran pastor, in the Bronx in New York.
You all heard her yesterday, or some of you did. So some of you have Bibles. You don't all have to have Bibles, but this man needs a Bible. Because we wanted to include a man's voice.
So welcome to Manna in the Wilderness. And a lot of different workshops kind of begin by doing sort of the theory part first and the lecture part first and then doing the interactive part later. But this whole experience will be interactive, and it is using the pictures around the room and using ourselves, one another, as resources for recognizing God in places that perhaps we might not have thought about recognizing God. So those of you who sort of need to know what we're doing before we do it, the flow,
you know those people,
right? Because I'm one of them. So we will do a sort of a Bible study, experiential Bible study, interactive, exploring some of the text and photos. And then about 3/4 way of the way through, then we'll talk about some of the theories and have
more
a conversation
explicitly about the process. And we hope you'll take this process into your own context and apply it yourself. Okay. Shall we start with? Do you want to give some brief introductions of yourselves? Because you'll be talking to each other, and so maybe just to say your name, so that maybe people can somehow.
This is when we will use. We will introduce the process of mutual invitation. Eric Law, who is an Episcopal priest, who has done a lot of work in multicultural, intercultural communications work, he has developed this process of communicating and inviting one another to speak. Within the group, that in his whole theory is that it's a Easter Good Friday experience, so that there are times when we need to be silent, and that there are times when people need to be raised up to speak, and there are times when we need to give up power, there are times that we need to take up power. So then that process he calls mutual invitation, and it's in a group like this where people are invited to speak. And so the process is very simple. Somebody starts and will invite the next person to speak. And that person may speak or can pass, and we can come back to that person. And then after that person has spoken, then invites the next person to speak. Well, and we can talk about how that feels for you later.
It's a good exercise for Lutherans who aren't accustomed to inviting people to do too much. There are two books of Eric Law's in the bookstore. This is one of them. Another one is called
Inclusion.
And so check those out after this book.
So,
would you like to invite the first person?
Sure. I would invite Shelley to introduce herself.
Okay, I'm Shelley Wiskirchen, and I'm here for a week, and I'm from Florida.
That's good. That's
it. Yeah. Since I think I only know Laura's name, I'm going to invite Laura to speak.
You don't have somebody's name. You can say, this beautiful woman in the red shirt, and I invite you.
My name is Laura Flatton, and I'm from Wisconsin. And I will invite you with Black Festa.
My name is Jane, and I am from Dorchester, Massachusetts, and I'm about to move to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. I'll be glad to. My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Seattle. Oh, and I invite
you. My name is Christy, and I'm from Portland, and I invite Beth to speak.
I'm Beth, and I'm from Wisconsin and Virginia.
I'm Virginia, and I'm from California.
Where
in California? Sonoma County, in mm-hmm. Northern California.
I will have a lovely lady. See what happens.
I'm from Pasadena, that's why I'm from California, Southern California.
Wonderful. And my name is Neda, and this is my last week here. I've been on staff.
Oh, so great.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to offer. Oh,
who would you invite, Neda?
Oh, that's right. I'll invite you to speak.
I'm also Jane. I'm from Seattle, and that's enough for now.
And I'm Shirley, also from Seattle.
I'm Kathy, and I'm from Wilmer, Minnesota.
From Bethel Lutheran Church. Everybody in Wilmer goes to that church, and they're all here.
I'm Dave Jacobson, and I'm from Moses Lake, Washington.
And who would you invite, Dave?
Andrea.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. The lady in the pink over here.
Oh, I'm Gloria, and I'm from Wenatchee, Washington.
Gloria?
Okay. I'm Ellen.
I'm Ellen, and I'm from Belding, Washington. Great.
And we just had someone enter the room. You can invite our newest guest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll let you invite our newest guest.
Just say who you are.
I'm Barbara Bresi from Chicago, but I have a holder for the summer.
And so you notice that you need to pay attention to who hasn't been invited. Mm-hmm. Should we start with a word of prayer?
Okay.
The God of peace and freedom be with you all.
And also with you.
We are excited, O God, to be in this place and to be with you and one another. Open our hearts, our imaginations, and our futures to be held with you, that we might walk in the wilderness and receive your manna and create with you the promised land. Amen.
Amen.
So the Bible reading that we will reflect on will use kind of like a Lectio Divina method of listening.
Come
on in. Come sit.
There's four seats right here just for you. Thank you.
We will hear this, the same scripture read several times this morning, and there will be a question that is raised and for you to reflect on.
I'll read the section this first time, and as you listen, make yourself comfortable. I want to use the pillow chair, and just listen to the text, and ask yourself what stands out in this text, in this hearing of it. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep God's commandments. God humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in God's ways and by fearing. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that has been given to you.
What word or phrase stood out for you in this hearing? What word or phrase stood out for you in this hearing? If you would just speak out loud that word or phrase.
Humble.
Long way.
New. Scarcity.
New.
Scarcity.
New.
Discipline.
Sore feet.
Mm-hmm. Since your feet didn't swell up.
We will hear it again. And this time I invite you to think about imageries of wilderness and how this passage would speak to that.
Who would be willing to read for us? Deuteronomy 8.
Bible.
Yes. It's verse 2 here, 2 verse 10.
Okay. Remember the long way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you.
Wilderness imagery from this text in sort of one part of your mind. I now invite you to think about some of the wilderness experiences that you might have had in your life and kind of both hold them up in your mind, in your reflection. I'll take a few minutes of silence to do that. Does that make sense? The scriptural wilderness experiences and your own wilderness experience. Photographs around the room, and these also come from Eric Law. He calls them photo language, And there are various images that he has collected and tested with different people. I invite you now, holding the imagery from the scripture in your mind and also of your experience, to wander around the room and find an image that speaks to that experience of your wilderness in the scripture together.
Don't pick it up yet, because other people may want to have a chance to see them all still, but pick out two or three if you can't settle on one, and then we'll gather together after everyone has had a chance to see them all, and then that way we'll know we're ready to move on to the next part, okay? And then we'll have a chance to pick them up, and maybe someone else will have chosen yours as well. That's why you want to pick two or three, just in case, okay? So spend the next 3 minutes or so wandering around looking at the images. And you can move, those of you move your chairs away from the table, that'll help people. How many of you were in the Bible study this morning? Quite a few of you. So this is sort of like your, Bible study 102.
Process, yeah.
Yeah. The next part of getting a chance to talk about how we are, our experiences and our journey of faith is not unrelated to those of the people of Israel who were wandering the wilderness for 40 years.
So, when I say now, well, should we break up into groups first?
Okay, why don't you clumps yourself in groups of three, right? And so, it's really easy because there are exactly six groups of three. We'll get some feedback from this session, this conversation, after the next one. Okay. And would you be willing to be our reader?
Oh, sure.
I picked you out. We all have different textures of voices, so.
Okay.
And it's Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 through 10.
So the same.
And this time we're listening for the images of manna.
Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you.
As you think about the biblical imagery of manna, and the question that I would like to invite you to reflect on is, what are the mannas in your life? What mannas do you have in your life? or what represents manna in your life? Going to repeat the exercise, but we need to put the pictures back first, and then we would invite you to roam around looking for that imagery of manna, your manna.
We're in the same spot again.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Can put them anywhere.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. So, yeah. We need to do some wrap up and talk about the
theory. Yeah, Mary wants to make sure you get the theoretical part. We're teasing each other.
What did you experience?
In that
anything,
process.
Any sort of aha kinds of things about the process,
about yourself this, in that process?
Doing this exercise?
Uh-huh. It was just amazing. We were just following up on what somebody else would draw from a picture. And I mean, I looked at it and just thought one thing and it all, and somebody else really was able to connect it, in this case, the idea of manna. Mm-hmm. And
the pictures really facilitated yourselves into your story, you know, and the ability, oftentimes people are less able to share.
Exactly.
And this, I think the pictures really help people to dig in and find a way to share.
Mm-hmm. A way to express things that yes. are difficult to express.
Uh-huh. Or you don't even know that they're there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We heard that a couple times.
Yeah. Look at all of that.
Absolutely. Other things? Folks from that group?
We thought we all picked pictures that had people in them. Uh-huh. We all had a little different interpretation, but of relationships. And it seemed to be the man. That's what you all recognize.
And the pictures have. I mean, we had the same pictures for wilderness that we had for manna.
That was weird. Yes.
And we could find that, you know, we could find the different stories in the same pictures, right? Yeah. or in the group of pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one person's wilderness is another person's manna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll do that for public image thing.
Yes, right.
Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, so one of the things you already intuitively know how the pictures work and how the sharing process works. It could be used for any situation, church council meeting or a public forum or whatever. But when we have an image that is outside of yourselves, mm-hmm. you know, when you go around a circle and say who you are, yeah, people usually describe your job and right? And so and then all of those images or all of those images that are painted come from some values in society. And then mm-hmm. pictures like this are neutral and you can invest in them the message that you want to convey. Mm-hmm. So that's something to think about when you do process with other groups of folk, to have them and have them be public that people can see. So when some of us mm-hmm. think faster than others, so we have a sentence in our head or a whole story or a whole episode of our life we're ready to share, well, others of us ponder and contemplate and think, and on the boat home, we will think, oh, I should have said this. You know? So this gives an opportunity for all kinds of people's expression to be shared in a broader community. And that different ways of communicating is, like you said, different people have different perspectives on the same image. Cross-culturally, intergenerationally, those kinds of things are true.
And some different ways that this exercise can be used. I've used it when there's been conflicts where you know, there are at least two different sides and we can't quite get to it, and we will stop and say, okay, let's step back. And then pose a question and then have people go around and pick the images, and then they can use the different language in talking mm-hmm. about the differences, but hear it not only speak it in a different language, but also hear it in a different language because they are able to see, they're able to then use the sort of the public way of discussing this without personalizing mm-hmm. an issue.
When you do that, do you ask, like, what kind of questions do you ask to get those conversations going?
So what's at the center of this?
I'm interested in the church conflict.
No, but that would be a question. Right. Like, yeah. What is the key issue about this?
Oh, okay.
What are some things that block you from seeing the other's perspective, whatever that might be? Mm-hmm. So, what are some of the so that the process of reflecting that and seeing the pictures and hearing it from other people, mm-hmm. then it just kind of shifts it enough mm-hmm. that they could hear it in a new way.
So it creates a space for more voices to be heard. Mm-hmm.
The other part is the mutual invitation that we talked about earlier today is, and I would strongly recommend, there are four books that Eric Law has written. He talks about it in the first book, The Lion and the Lamb.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb.
That's right. There's a picture of lion. and talks about it as that Easter experience, that
death
those
and
of us, those of us who are churched and are perceived as church leaders, we really have difficulty listening. Even if we think that we're good listeners, because often if you go around a circle and you're saying something, you're thinking about what you're going to say mm-hmm. and not really listening to
what
is
preparing yours, because you know you're mm-hmm. after the next person. Mm-hmm.
that this the mutual invitation process really forces you not to speak until you're invited. That's a whole lot of power that you really are giving up. And McCormick, we use this in this. Every first year student goes through this huge class, and they're in small groups and so on. And we had this incredible experience of an African American male lawyer who came to school for the first time. And so they had used this process for about 5 weeks, and then so they were doing an evaluation of saying, "Well, kids, do we do this or not?" And he said, "We have to absolutely do this, because if you give me any amount of time, I'll fill it up." So if there's any law, I'll fill it up. But this forces me to then not speak. Even if there is silence, then it forces me not to speak. And then we've also had a Satan group, a woman from Korea, who then was able to say, "This, I know that this time, I have time. Mm-hmm. It's my time in this group to do whatever." So it's a shifting of power, of giving up power and enabling others to take up power.
And so even using that process, the mutual invitation process, with the little Bible study, you know, you can do it to start a meeting, a council meeting or whatever, I said that already. But, and it changes the group dynamics that follow whatever it is you're going to discuss later, if it's a conflicted situation, even if everyone gets along. Because you just get into patterns of being accustomed to some person saying something every once a month or something, and the other person talking all the time, and everyone sits back because, you know, she's going to talk. Mm-hmm. And so it changes those dynamics. And to watch that in a class over the course of a whole year really, really is amazing how people not only find a voice, but then find their ears, too.
Mm-hmm. How do you facilitate it when somebody goes outside those boundaries? They've been invited, but then somebody jumps in anyway.
Well, then you remind them that it's mutual invitation process, and we're here all to listen to each other and not to make comments. Because it's a mutual process, then it's the group that has decided together. So that you remind them that we decide together as a group to this. Uh-huh, Barbara.
Well, this is interesting, but what about when people feel coerced, I guess, one person didn't want to have to start or something like that, or uh-huh. people feel coerced to have to find something in an image or have to share.
You can pass. And always. You never relinquish your opportunity to invite, though. So say it's just not my day, it was a lot of energy just to even show up. So I want to pass, but I still have the opportunity to invite the next person. So that, in that way, I'm still participating. I still have a role and a responsibility of inviting, but it doesn't mean I have to speak. And then afterwards, if the whole group speaks, then you can come, would you like to share now and check in with me? And then I say, no, still fine, and then just go on. So each person has that opportunity.
I think too, I'm not sure about this process, but in other processes, it's not just the facilitator who's responsible for keeping the group honest about what they've agreed to. So if you, you know, if you're upfront about saying, we all agreed to this process, then it's up to, I think, to the whole group.
Exactly. And then, and it happens naturally after you do it a little bit, then the people do it with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have one little exercise that we'd like to do because it really puts the it gets us to the promised land. So.
So we'll hear the story one more time. And as you hear the scripture read, hear those images of promised land and imagine what it is, promised land for you. Then we'll have a chance, each person, we won't use mutual invitation, we'll have each person a chance to share. We'll say a little bit more about that after we get to that.
Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you.
I invite each of you to think in words of a word or phrase that describes promised land for you. In the last line of the reading it says, and we will bless the Lord for all that God has promised to us. This will be our closing prayer time together as we each speak out that for which we bless the Lord in the promised land of abundance. I bless you, Lord, for a promised land full of laughter and joy and dancing.
Filled up and overflowing.
For being with me always.
For refreshing my soul.
A promised land that you are leading me to.
For each sense of partnership with you and with others.
For the relationships in that promised land.
For not just enough, but abundance.
Home and belonging.
to love and be loved.
For friends and community.
For the children who grow old. For always relying on your protection.
For relationships where listening happens on both sides.
We bless you, O God, and we will journey together with you and one another into your promised land. And all the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.